Hello, Aruna. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you, Aarti Ben?
Very well, very well. And yourself?
Very good.
Enjoying the heat? Does it remind you of?
Yeah, home. I've got a fan going here. I hope it's not going to affect the noise.
Okay, I can't hear it, but that
Okay.
could just be me. That's good. All right, so this is the bit where we get to know you a little bit better, or the audience gets to know you a little bit better. So I'm going to ask you, what during this lockdown period, but otherwise generally, what are the hobbies that you enjoy?
Oh, is that personal, is Yeah, well, I do love a lot of sports. I love to walk. I do love the outdoors. We can't do much gardening there, but I've been trying to dabble in a bit of gardening here, helping those that I'm staying with here. So I'm that kind of a active person, really. I do like to read as well. I like to read other people's work. Not really much for TV or cinema in that sense. I like more live things. I love animals. Yeah.
Okay, have you got a pet? In which
No.
case, dare I ask? You don't, you travel too much. Okay, so all right, those are the kind of things you enjoy. Do you play a musical instrument by any chance?
No, I wish I did. I wish I played guitar.
The guitar.
Yeah,
Why? Why the guitar?
I just feel like it's one of those things that you can travel with and you can create an atmosphere with it wherever you go. You
Okay.
know, I just think it's nice. We have a few of those drums, those drumming drums,
Okay.
and a few small instruments just when we have a bit of fun. But yeah, sorry, not talented in that area yet.
But we know you're talented with the pen, so we're going to come to that in a little while. I'm going to ask you, what's the thing that brings you, that has brought you the most joy in your life?
It really is helping others. Yeah, I can just say that without blinking an eyelid. Just whatever little in whatever little way I can help. That's what encourages me to write the blog every week, because I know not everybody reads everything, but whoever does read it, I know that at least I'm trying to make a difference in their life. And so just the joy that you've helped somebody see something in a different way, in a different perspective, change their attitude, and so life becomes easier.
Okay. All right. And which country have you enjoyed living in the most?
I don't know how the others will feel, but no, two places I love the most, and again because I feel it resonates with my personality. One is Vancouver, because again that's a very outdoor kind of living, and the mountains and the sea. And I really thoroughly enjoyed Istanbul. I enjoyed Turkey because I just found that Istanbul was a real melting pot of East and West and young and old and modern and ancient, and it was just beautiful. But every country where I've lived has taught me something. So again, I can't say I didn't like it, because it's really made me grow in different ways.
All right. Okay. And I'm just trying to find some new things that people won't know about you, because they will know about your blog. They will know about the fact that you are a lecturer and a meditation teacher. That's given. That is given. I'm just trying to think of something that would be interesting. Okay.
Well, maybe you should say that we know each other from being kids. We
Yes.
all know that we kind of grew up around the same meditation center in the same area. Yeah.
Yeah, we have known each other for a
And
very
we
long
went to Mount Abu, India together.
time. We have. We've had a long history together, which is very, very nice. It's unusual to keep people in your life for that long, but not having lived necessarily together for a long period of time and just staying connected like that. it very rarely feels like we've been apart. I know whenever we have a conversation, I feel like yesterday we were talking, so it never feels
But isn't that what spirituality does, though? Like, I think that the fact that we're able to give each other space, but when we come together, it's like no time has lapsed. So I think we credit that to the spiritual life, the meditation, the teaching, you know?
Okay. And obviously a good ingredient for a good relationship or a great relationship.
There you go. I didn't put that. I should have, yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you, you come from a very large family, a number of brothers and a number of sisters.
Two brothers and we are five sisters together.
Five sisters.
Seven siblings, yeah.
Wow. And you're the youngest. And I think the white hair makes you seem older than you actually are. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The white hair should not be noted. So I'm going to turn around and ask you, how does it feel being the youngest? And now when you're at meditation centers, running countries and centers, you're one of the oldest. How is that transition for you to go from being the youngest to now being
the youngest? I still feel young. So when I'm with others, it's not eat the humble pie, but I mean, I still just want to befriend them. So I think you can ask the people around our center. I mean, there's a natural understanding that I'm their big teacher, but we're all friends actually. And I want to keep it that way, because then there's the lightness, the friendship, even between our sisters. Yeah, I'm the youngest and maybe I tour more and I, you know, speak more, but I still like to feel like I'm their younger sister.
Please maintain that.
Yeah, I think that's important, because can't get to your head, you know. This is here today, could be gone tomorrow, but the relationships stay. I just think that's my policy, really, is even the young ones, I like to encourage them, move them forward, give them respect, and I just keep that friendly relationship with them. So it's not like, you know, working top down, but working parallel with each other.
Flat.
Oh, it's easy. I think to answer your question, I think it's not that difficult. It's easy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I have set an attitude for that, though.
Uh-huh. So that naturally leads into, what is the thing that you cherish most in a relationship?
Honesty,
even when it's a bit brutal.
Yeah, sometimes it hurts. I meant more honesty in terms of if you know, they've done something, I'd rather they were honest.
Uh-huh.
They can tell me what they've done. But if you're looking at honesty in terms of, yeah, them telling me something about me, yeah, sometimes it hurts, but then, you know, if you go away and you check and you think, well, yeah, okay, let me see what I can take from this and see how I can grow from this. And I do appreciate it. I never shun anyone if they kind of have the guts to tell me something. But no, I like honesty, because I just think there's that transparency, which I'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to cover that. All right. And what was the hardest relationship you ever had to build?
To build?
Or develop, or, you know, maintain?
Well, maybe there was one in which someone didn't trust me in what I was saying and doing, and like they didn't believe me, and that kind of hurt, because I felt I was telling the truth. And but again, with time, it's healed. It was many, many years ago, but it was a significant person. So it's healed with time, but of course at that time it hurt a lot. And I kind of was a bit broken, devastated emotionally. because it's somebody you trusted and then they didn't trust you. Wow. And so that kind of really hurt. It was a big blow. But as I said, with time, the heart healed. And again, I'm not one to hold grudges. I really try to embody the knowledge that we are given, and that is to just try and have love and good wishes for each one. And, you know, each one gets their karma and all of that. So, yeah. And actually, yeah, it's fine. The relationship is still there. It's fine. Yeah.
Okay. And what in a relationship has really sustained you as an individual?
Well, if I could go back to who was the head of the Brahma Kumaris, Dadi Janki, who passed away. I think her trust in me, maybe now as you're speaking, I'm seeing, yeah, the trust was betrayed. And so the trust is what I value. Yeah. If you trust me, then yeah, I could do a lot for you. So just trust. Yeah. She trusted in me a lot, and that made me live up to that trust.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh? Trust inspires you as an individual. It's very interesting. I'm going to ask you then, you talked about the thing that gives you the greatest joy is helping others. Do you ever get fatigued, tired by helping other people?
Well, again, I want to say that I do get fatigued when I'm not doing it with the right consciousness.
Okay.
Because, as I said, the joy overpowers the fatigue. But if I've not done it, at that time, say I've got a lot going on and something comes along and then I haven't given it that proper attention that it needed because I had other things to do, you know, like this thing of task versus people. Like if I'm task focused and not people focused, and then I feel I have to give to people. And then, yeah, that at times like that, I can see that it tires me. But if I'm in the right zone and I'm giving from the heart and with love, no, it doesn't really. Because, I mean, you know also that when we give from this place of not wanting anything back, it does energize us. It does recharge us.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're coming to a point where the talk will start, so I will introduce you in a couple of minutes. I'm going to ask where you are today. You're not in Bahrain.
Kuwait.
Kuwait, sorry. You're not in Kuwait.
I'm not in Kuwait. I have been locked out of Kuwait. Kuwait still does not allow anyone to enter or leave unless absolutely necessary. So I am locked down in London.
Okay, so you're with
the in Hounslow area, yeah.
Okay, excellent. And otherwise, normally you would be in Kuwait.
Yeah, I would be in Kuwait. But lately we are starting a new center in Cairo. So that's why I was in Cairo when they kind of shut down Kuwait. So then I came this way to London. So that's the story.
Wow, Cairo. And are you just establishing a new center there?
And there are some students, but we got another place. And so we were just kind of doing that up and all this started to happen. So there was just lockdown and everything froze. So it's all in process at the moment.
All right. So from Egypt to London and then at some point back to Bahrain, I take it.
Kuwait.
Oh, I don't know why I keep saying Bahrain. I know you were in Bahrain.
In Bahrain, and so people still see me as Bahraini.
No, Kuwait.
I'm still very close to Bahrain and everyone there, but yeah, my base is Kuwait now.
Kuwait, yeah. And in Kuwait, what do you like about being in Kuwait?
Yeah, I love, people are nice, really. The people that come to us, very, very regal, royal. Kind, helpful, polite. Plus, actually, I love the weather in the Middle East. I really love the sun. I know it's hot. It's really hot now, over 40, 45 degrees. But and I love the cleanliness. I love the fact that there's heat and there's no mosquitoes.
So not quite India in that sense.
Yeah, well, no, I love India for other reasons. I love India. But no, Kuwait is comfortable, I always say. It's very comfortable, yeah.
Okay, well, I think you deserve it because you've done so much already. So I'm just going to introduce you. So I'm going to welcome everybody who's arrived. People will be joining us over the next 5 minutes or so. And so just to introduce our speaker this evening. This evening we have Aruna, who you would normally have in Kuwait, but she's actually in lockdown in London at the moment. So we've been able to grab her, even though a lot of her work is still with the Middle East. And I'm now hearing about Cairo, so Egypt as well. So Aruna and I have known each other since we were kids, I guess you could say. And Aruna's first encounter with meditation was at the age of 8. And I can actually say she's never looked back since. Aruna was born in Kenya, educated in England, and has worked in Vancouver, Canada, as a certified negotiator in conflict resolution, where she also helped run and establish a meditation center. In fact, Aruna's run and established meditation centers in Vancouver. She was originally based at the headquarters in London, the international headquarters of the Brahma Kumaris in London. From there, she was in Vancouver. And then from there, she's been establishing centers in Turkey, in Bahrain, in Kuwait, and now Cairo. For the last 10 years, Aruna has been a dedicated weekly blogger, and the blogs are now translated in a number of languages, so well read across the world. November 2014, Aruna received a Woman of Excellence Award from the Yoga Federation in India for her contribution to social work. And tonight, Aruna is going to be sharing on do's and don'ts of great relationships. I'm going to invite you to collect your questions. Aruna will be taking questions after the meditation. So please send your questions in via the question and answer link, and then I will be posing those questions to Aruna at the end. So Aruna, I'm going to now hand over to you and say to everybody, do enjoy the talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Just one thing, maybe just walk us through the timing. So
everybody, of course. Let me just remind you and everybody, the talk begins now and it will go on for the next 30 to 40 minutes, meditation, and then questions and answers for 15, 20 minutes, and then we close at 7:30-ish, unless there's hundreds of questions, and if you're free, we'll continue, but if you're not, I can imagine you've got other appointments, so we'll close at 7:30. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I know you've got a great team there in Covent Garden, so really love to each one. So hello and good evening, everyone. We've just, actually, it's really nice. This is the first time I've had a little chat with the facilitator. And it's really nice because it kind of breaks you in to the talk and makes you feel very easy and comfortable. So thank you, Aarti, for that. That was unique. Yeah, so today I've been jotting away and also reflecting. And to be honest, I asked a few people in my life, married people, single people, what do you think should be the do's and don'ts of the relationships? And it was very interesting. So together with a bit of my research, my churning, and a little help from my friends, I was able to put this together. So what I have done, or not me, I've got a friend to do it for me, but I would like to share with you the PowerPoint. And here we are. That's good. It's working. Yeah, great. I hope you can all see that. And so let's start from the first slide. And there's a number of, yeah, do's and don'ts. So I'll just talk you through it. And if you like, you can jot them down, or as we said, you can comment on them later. I'm sure everybody on this talk is very experienced. So let's begin with the first one. Yeah. Don't criticize. So if you don't criticize, what do? You compliment. I mean, there's no order to this. I'll just start with this for now. But basically, yeah, so important to see specialities of each one. Actually, this is something we are taught on a spiritual journey, is that if you want to become special, then you have to see the specialities of others. Otherwise, what makes you special? You see? And it's so easy, as you can see, so easy to point the finger at others. And sometimes what I have done in workshops is I have got two people face each other, made them pretend to be like clay models. And so I begin by getting them to point at each other as though they're blaming each other. But then I ask people in the audience, how can we change this dynamic so that there's not the the angry expression and the blame, the criticism and all that? And most likely people come, and what do? They mold the finger back at the person. And so this is the thing. When I go to criticize others, I don't want to say we should criticize ourselves, but I think we should take a good look at ourselves before we try to fix others. And this is very important if we want to keep a relationship going. So what's the good thing to do? What's the right thing to do in the relationship? It's not that you don't see the fault, but as we've been learning from our senior teachers, if you want to correct one thing, then you have to compliment 10 other things first. And then you can say to them, you know what, if you just, you know, change this, it might help, or it would be good, or whatever. Use the right language. And so, yeah, don't criticize, compliment, find something. There's always got to be something in someone that is good. I don't believe that there is anyone without, you know, any speciality, any quality, any virtue. And we have to look for it. We have to zoom into that. And we've had to do that. I've had to do that in certain relationships where, you know, this person may be critical, negative. But then I say, okay, you know, what's the one thing that I can hold on to that can just make me see them in a positive light? And so we really have to find that. So don't criticize and compliment. And don't take for granted, but do appreciate. Don't take for granted, but do appreciate. So again, when we've been in relationships for a long time, it's very easy to take others for granted. You know, it's like people we're living with, we just get used to their ways. So even if they bring you a cup of tea every day, you just think, well, they're supposed to bring me a cup of tea every day, but we forget that, no, they don't have to. That's just them being nice and kind. So really to value everything that one does. And I would say that the granted bit arises from the familiarity. When I become familiar with somebody, then it's so easy to just take them for granted. So this is why, again, the attitude of appreciation. And, you know, what's wrong with just acknowledging and appreciating every single act that is done? I mean, when I give an appreciative remark, it doesn't take anything away from me, does it? Sometimes people think, well, why should I? You know, that's their job, or they should do at least this much. But when I do appreciate, that makes me great. That makes me the greater one. And it means so much to that person. I have noticed this sometimes when you just are so thankful to people and appreciate every little thing that they do. It just brings out the best in them. honestly. So I think we have to see that, yeah, it's something that you may not have to do, but it's a nice thing to be doing. And it's funny, isn't it, how when we're out on the road or on the street, it's so easy for us to thank other people and be nice and sweet and kind. And then we come back into the house. Why is it difficult to show that same appreciation? So again, we've got to look at that. Like, is it again just that we take the people we live with for granted, or the people we work with for granted? It's very important. Otherwise, yeah, again, all these little things can actually eat away at the relationship. And that's why then you have these great statistics of divorce, because people just think, well, why bother, you know? So I do know for a fact that quite a few relationships have broken down because one just does not value the other person, or let's say appreciate the other person. So let's do a bit more of appreciation. Okay, this is don't speak, but do quiet, right? So what I mean here is, it's actually an art, isn't it, to know when to speak and when to be quiet. I think some people are quiet when they need to speak, and they speak when they need to be quiet. So it's really an art to know what to say when, to know how to say it, with what tone to say it. It's really an art. Communication is really an art. So sometimes I think it's just good to be quiet. We do not have to, you know, remark on every single thing. Sometimes people think that if we're sitting with other people, we just have to speak. We just have to say something to make conversation. Or even, let's say, for example, somebody's telling you their story. Say somebody's telling you that they might be getting unemployed soon. Can I just sit with them? Can I just listen to them without feeling that, now I have to fix them, and now I have to make sure they don't cry, and now I have to make sure that they understand that everything's of benefit? Because in that moment, the person is not ready to hear anything, actually. The person kind of just needs to be held, and held in the sense, not physically even, but just to hold the moment and just be present. And just your presence, your calmness, just helps that person to, okay, yeah, now I can see what's going on. You know, your presence will enable them to see what's going on. And then they'll come to answers and realizations themselves. So again, I want to say, in any relationship, you know, sometimes with your kids, sometimes with your spouse, sometimes again at work, let things go sometimes, you know. Don't have to try and fix everything, and don't need to comment on everything. And sometimes silence is better than words. Just your quiet, your silence can move mountains. So now see, just if we quiet, if we silence, we just give ourselves that space, it just feels good, doesn't it? Okay, next is don't disconnect, but do connect. And what I mean about this is, in our relationships, of course, there's a few other slides that talks about disagreements, but here I mean more about staying connected and really focusing on staying connected. In other words, depending on, again, which relationship it is, if it is children, if it is your relatives, if it's your friends or friends in other countries. So it may mean you have to connect every few hours. It may mean to connect every other day or every week or every month. But connection, did you know that humans require connection? And we need to connect. This is what's been noticeable in this pandemic, that one of the things that people are, let's say, having the most discomfort is that they've not been able to connect. And the internet has been there, the social media has been there, but the personal connection has been missing. And so they've really felt deprived of that personal connection. But once a day, people, if they just connect with their loved ones and again, feel that love, even though it is through the wires, but feel that sense of connection again, there are evidences to prove that your immunity can rise, you feel better, you feel happier, stronger. So, you know, again, not to undermine this, not to take it lightly and say, well, you know what, doesn't matter. So what if I don't connect with them? And sometimes from my experience, I've noticed that it's not always that I have to connect. But again, when I do connect, then both sides benefit. You see, it's another one of those things that, yeah, if you don't call someone, maybe you won't lose a lot, but you will gain more if you do connect. So again, this is very important. So again, as I said, reflect on your relationships, see who it is, connect with your children, definitely once a day. Important for spouses to connect, to see what's going on, important for friends to connect. let me just add, there was a comment, because, you know, of course, I have WhatsApp as well, and I send some things out. And so one person said to me, oh, I didn't get anything from you for a few days, so I thought you took me off your list. And I said, well, that's a lot of wasteful thinking, isn't it? So you can see that if somebody's connecting on a regular basis and then you don't, again, there's just so many waste thoughts created, which of course is absolutely unnecessary, but there you go. I mean, this person started to think I didn't like them anymore. Now, okay, you might say, well, that's not my problem. And I had no intention and I just was busy and all that. So my point though is that, yeah, when there is connection, I think people do appreciate it. Of course, if there's overload of information, you can definitely say that. But in terms of personal relationships, very important to connect. Now, another thing that we learn on a spiritual level is we have to connect with the souls. So we don't always connect physically, but we have this, let's say, job to really send out good wishes and good thoughts to people around the world. And this is our connection, you see? Every third Sunday of the month, we have International World Meditation Hour, and we are sending out thoughts to everyone, even those that we don't know. And this is so that we can just, again, give a bit of hope, give a bit of peace. And it's the same for the people around us. Sometimes, again, as I said earlier, you can't say something through words, but maybe just connect with them with your mind and your thoughts and send them those good vibes, and you'll see that they will start to heed to those good wishes. And the next is don't hold it in, but do communicate. So again, so important to communicate. And I really encourage this. And as Aarti explained, I have studied conflict resolution. And it is so important to communicate what's going on. Sometimes we don't have the right words, but that's okay. Let us use the words we have, but in a very calm tone, in a calm way. And the right feeling will get conveyed. But what happens when we hold something inside of us is that it starts to ferment. If something has happened, and really I can tell you, and I'm sure you all have a number of stories where something has happened and we don't know the ifs or buts behind it, but something happens and it turns into something much bigger. And we hold it inside and we hold on to our end of the story. And we think we are right. But then when you go and communicate, open up, you know, and you clarify. And then you realize that, hold on a minute, this was all my ways thinking. I held on to this, you know, side of the coin when actually it was the other side of the coin. And of course, you have many examples, but somebody, say, doesn't call you and you get hurt. I mean, you don't get invited to their party, you get hurt. Somebody takes something and you think, why didn't they ask me? And there was maybe a reason why they couldn't ask you, or maybe they didn't know it belonged to you. You know, so many reasons. So what should we do? I have another slide in which I'm saying, you know, communicate before you go to bed. But I'll just add this bit here too, that try to resolve the problem in the same day that it happens. And this is really one of my personal policies, like, especially if I don't realize, I can't, of course, but if I've realized that something has happened, then I really try to address it as quickly as possible. Because to just hold it inside, you feel bad, they're probably feeling bad, there's this big thing looming in the air, there's no clarity, there's confusion. So just better to communicate and just clear it out. Shall we talk about what happened? Why did you do that? Whatever, just open the communication lines and see where it takes you, right? But definitely important to get it out. Communication means just get it out. Don't hold it. As I said, it stews inside and ferments. And then, of course, it smells, right? When something ferments, it smells. So in other words, the feelings that are going to come out later are going to be worse. So let's avoid that. And don't drift, but attune. So what I mean about this is, we've got to attune in if we want relationships to work, right? I think also the title of the topic was great relationships. If we want great relationships, then we've got to make the effort to attune, which means to synergize. So it's very easy for us to drift away into our own little world of being and doing and even thinking. But somehow we have to kind of be in synergy, in attunement with the people around us. And I must say that, really, touch wood, it's very nice here where we just kind of flow with everything, the work and the chores and just being and giving each other the space. And it's just very lovely. And this is what's got to happen if we want, you know, consistent, good relationships. So this means that I have to kind of be watchful, you know, of what's happening out there, what are their needs, not with a sense of tension or anything, but just to be mindful and you know that, oh, this is the time that they have their tea, this is whatever, like just to be mindful of what's going on and not to be a loner, not to, as I said, drift off into my own little world, because that's a very selfish little world. If I choose to, I can go into my own selfish little world, but it doesn't help everyone and doesn't create harmony in relationships. So what makes a good relationship work is that, yeah, we are kind of, you know, bobbing along together. And sometimes I may go this way with you. Sometimes you will come this way with me. So that's the idea. It's the dance of relationships, really. And that's what creates the harmony, literally the harmony, the music, the synergy, and that's what makes the relationship great. So be watchful, be mindful, be conscious of others that you live with. Yeah, don't do negative, but do positive. So we all know, most of you, I'm sure, have been listening to a lot of talks on meditation and mind management. It just does not pay to do negative, to think negative. And you tell me, does negative thinking really work? Does it really help in relationships? It doesn't, honestly. And here on the picture, you see this arrow, but see the arrow like a bow and arrow, you know? So every time I have a negative thought, it's like I'm releasing that negative bow. a negative arrow from my bow of the mind. And it just does not help in the relationship. So if I'm speculative, again, if I'm speculative, go back and communicate and clarify, but don't stay in that speculation. If I'm not sure why you did something, again, no need to be negative. Talk it over, talk it through. Try to approach with the positive attitude of wanting to fix the thing rather than to blame the other person, because this is the vibration they will pick up. If your intention is to really probe and poke at them, then you're more focused on the negative. But if your intention is to make it better, to improve, to you know, to see something more of a positive outcome, then they'll feel that vibration and then they will respond to you from that side. So negative thinking, yeah, no, doesn't work. Give me one good reason why you should think negative. So don't, you know, don't read into people's actions. Just try to give them the benefit of the doubt. Because if I read into them, it's saying more about me than about them, right? So really stay positive and just trust that you're sure that they didn't mean that. You're sure that that was not their intention. Just really, you stay positive. Even if their intention was negative, you stay positive, because you have to live with you. You have to live with your mindset, and you don't want to damage that at any cost. And you want to upkeep your happiness. You want to maintain your peace. So this is why you need to stay positive, right? So really, negative doesn't work. So don't withhold. And like withhold, which is again withholding information, but do the transparency. So what does this mean? This means like be open, be like a book. Like one of our senior teachers was saying that we need to, our life needs to be like a postcard and not like one of those closed airmail envelopes that, you know, you sealed on the sides and then just posted it without the envelope, that letter, aerogram letters. So let your life be transparent. Why to hide something? Why to withhold something? Because it's just showing a different side of you that is maybe not real. Now you might say to me, I know one of your questions will be, well, we can't be too honest. Yes, so where you can't be too honest, then go back to being quiet. But don't need to hide or don't need to lie, you see? So transparency always pays off. In fact, in some study, I forget now, I don't know the exact study, but they asked a number of leaders that what is the one quality that people want from you? And a number of them said, well, they said honesty, but it was in line with transparency. People want to see transparency in leadership. So when I am trying to hide or withhold, then again, it raises doubts, it raises question marks. So it's just better to be clear and transparent. Don't ignore and do celebrate and rejoice. So again, going back to one of the earlier points, like, yeah, it's okay not to acknowledge someone and say you did a great job, etc. It's easy to ignore. It's easy to let it pass or slide or whatever. But, you know, when we do take a moment to celebrate those little victories, little joys, it just makes such a difference in relationships. And don't ignore also means like, again, don't ignore, but acknowledge. Again, in the streets, you know, most of us go around like, oh, I don't know this one. Oh, I'm not going to smile at that one. But isn't it lovely when we do smile? And isn't it lovely when we say good morning and we just express our happiness? And this is the thing. I mean, who's going to do it first? when you're walking, you see somebody coming to you, who is going to break the ice and who's going to do it first? So again, it's one of these things of whatever's inside of you is what will come out. So if you are every day just celebrating, rejoicing, just happy in the moment, then what's going to come out? What are you going to share with the world? But likely, the chances are likely that if you're ignoring yourself, if you look in the mirror and you do not acknowledge your beautiful self, then chances are you probably cannot acknowledge and celebrate others either. So really, you know, embrace yourself, love yourself, and say, yeah, going to have a wonderful day. Oops, can't find, okay. Yeah. Okay, don't curse and do bless. So again, going back to relationships, again, whether they're intimate or not, but it doesn't pay to curse. Of course, not to use any of those curse words, but not even in energy. You know, our thoughts are so powerful that even if you have a negative thought, or even if you have a thought like, well, you know what, I knew that wasn't going to happen, or I knew you are not going to win the lottery, or like some of these comments that we make, it's like as we say it, we are cursing the person, we are cursing the situation. And again, it doesn't help. You know, even if you think that, you don't need to say it. At least it's here, erase it from here. But once it's spoken through the mouth, then it's out, isn't it? It's out. And there's that story, beautiful story of this man who was criticizing somebody. And he was criticizing them. And so then he took, so that man took this man to court. And so that man, the opposite man who was criticizing this one, he said, but judge, he said, I only said some things about him, but it's not a big deal. So the judge says, okay, fine. I'd like you to go away and come back tomorrow. And in the meantime, I would like you to write down all the things that you said about him. So he went away, he came back, and he said, okay, tear this up into little pieces and throw them outside. And he said, that's it? He said, yeah, that's it. So they went away. He went, he threw them. He goes, then you'll come back the next day. He said, fine. So third day he came back, and he said, okay, now I'd like you to go and pick up all those pieces of paper. So this man said, well, how can I do that? It's blown away. And so the judge said, exactly. Because everything you said is now out there. Everything you said to whoever about this person is out there, and you can't get it back. So in Hindi, because this is something my mom used to tell us, which is in Hindi, tol tol ke bol, which means weigh your words before speaking. Tolna is to weigh, bol is words. So weigh your words before you speak, and make sure that they do not become a curse for the other person. And so what's the opposite of that is to really bless. Bless means just send them a good wish. And yes, they may not be that today, but they will be that tomorrow. But just have those good wishes for them. Bless them means, you know, blessings are just so welcome. And we have a lovely practice of distributing what we call blessing cards at the end of every program. And a lot of people are missing this, actually. They're missing our little sweets, and they're missing the blessing cards. And these blessing cards really are to tell you how wonderful you are. And I've done this exercise many times in my workshops, where I get people to just whisper in the other person's ear a compliment about them. And they just feel so good. These are people that don't even know each other, but somebody will say, oh, I see this in you, or you are this, or I love this about you. And the whole atmosphere just becomes so wonderful. So again, what kind of relationships do we want to create? This kind of loving, joyful, fun, healthy relationships. So really make a point of blessing somebody today, tonight, tomorrow. Don't be quick to judge or react, but do respond. Yeah, so this person is saying, what a silly looking robe. And the other one says, well, thank you so much. So respond with love, yes? So basically, there is this expression, don't react, but respond. And again, I've noticed through my experience that really the more I meditate, then I can be calmer, and then I don't react as fast. So this is another reason really why one of the do's, which is not here, but do meditate every day. Because it just slows down the reaction response, you see? So when something happens, there isn't that knee-jerk reaction, but you can take a moment. So that's why I always say, think before you think. Think before you think, because you have to even think about the thought that you're about to think. And that's the space, the gap that meditation gives us. And so then we don't, you know, say things that we regret later. And don't be quick to judge, you know, means again, it's, you know, we're so good at judging everybody. You didn't do that, so you're lazy. You didn't do that, so you're dumb. You didn't do that, so you're careless. But if you really live with somebody and get to know their specialities, then maybe they've got reasons why they didn't do what they did. Maybe they're twice as smart and not twice as dumb. But it's my wicked mind. You see, my wicked mind just jumps to reacting and judging. And again, it doesn't help in relationships. That's the point. You can react. You have every right to react, but it's not a very helpful response. Whereas the do response is meaning for us to respond. And if you look at the word response, it has the word ponder, right? Ponder, respond, ponder. So re-ponder, rethink before you actually do what you're about to do. Yes, don't take offense from small things, but do see the bigger picture. So again, this is very important because Aarti, just going to take a few more minutes. I'll just skip through all these slides quickly. Just a few more slides. So don't take offense. Thanks. So yeah, don't take offense from small things. Again, because we think a lot, you see, we think a lot because we're insecure. So we read into everything. So for example, I might enter into a room and then I'll notice the one person that didn't look at me. But I don't notice everybody else who looked at me, who welcomed me with love and said, hi, welcome, how are you? And so these little things, you see, we mind the little things. And so this is the thing. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter, right? So why to look at that one little thing when so much is going right? So let's focus on, as I'm saying, the bigger picture. And not to read into all the small things. And again, as I said, communication is a big part of all this. If it seems big to you, if it's small, but it seems like a big thing to you, then just go and communicate. Just talk about it. And then maybe that person will get you to see that, well, there was a bigger reason to why that was happening. But we won't know till we have inquired or we have asked. So really keep the bigger picture. So this is another point of, you know, do I want to be right or do I want to be at peace? This is what I would say for this. So just try to keep the bigger picture, which is I just want the peace and not necessarily I want to be right. Yeah, this is very important. And the people who live with me can vouch that I really try to do this. Not go to bed angry, but I really try to resolve things before going to bed. because I also don't believe in carrying it over to the next day. So if there is some misunderstanding, or if I've said something that I felt was not right, then I will really go and apologize, and I'll try to really clear it before the next day, because there's no way we want to carry this energy over. It's a waste of my time, it's a waste of their time. And not only that, but I believe we want to go to bed with really good feelings, because what kind of sleep will I get if I'm holding on to these angry emotions? I'm not going to get very good sleep. And then you wake up tired, and then the same thing, same story to be repeated tomorrow. So it really doesn't help. So of course, I've learned my lessons, and I really try to go by this. Of course, prevention is better than cure. So definitely try not to get into anything. But if something has happened, then really try to resolve it as quickly as possible and make a point, even at night, if you've been busy all day, but to just clarify anything. Because you really don't want to go to bed with angry feelings, emotions. And then imagine the other person in the other room or in the other house or wherever, and you being connected on that level. You're connecting on that anger level, and it's not healthy. It's not good. So what do? You resolve. Resolve, again, communicate, clarify, try to clear. Yeah, don't break confidentiality. See, when relationships start to become close or intimate, people will start sharing their vulnerable secrets or, you know, past experiences. And we've got to really uphold that confidentiality. One of the things that Aarti and I were talking about is earlier, before the talk started, was a breach of trust. So when somebody breaks your trust, then it's hard. It's really hurtful. And so, yeah, learn to keep a secret. And not that, you know, some people say a secret is something you tell somebody, like one person at a time. So that's not really keeping the secret either. But the thing is, if you keep confidentiality, then know that the other person will also keep your things confidential. It's just a karmic law. And this is something we need to understand. If I breach this confidentiality, then somebody's likely to be speaking about me. And that's not nice. We don't want that. It's a karmic return we have to accept. So don't blame and take responsibility. So as you know, I've said this many times, blame is the opposite of responsibility. So again, we keep saying, you know, it's you, you're doing this to me. But every time I say it's you, then I'm not taking self-responsibility. And if I'm not taking self-responsibility, then I'm not being empowered. I'm not the master. So every time I blame something or someone, the weather, anything, anytime I blame anything out there, then what am I saying? That only that thing can bring me back my happiness. Only that thing can bring me back my peace. And that's not the case. So take charge of your life, take responsibility, and say, I'm the master of my peace and happiness. And then don't nag, but do patience. Okay, so this is the last slide. Again, not very good, right? We see many relationships in which, people nag, you know, nagging when you're constantly bickering about something. Or do this, do that, you didn't do that. Again, you know, it's just a lot of wasteful chatter. And it doesn't help. It's like that noise pollution that's going on at the back of our mind. And not healthy in the house, not healthy in the relationship. So again, find the right time to say the right thing. Have a bit of patience, trust that, yeah, they will learn with time. It will happen with time. Don't try to, don't expect that just because I say it, it's going to happen. And I think this is what's the thing with nagging, right? But, and sorry, by the way, it could be the other way. It could be the man also nagging at the wife. But don't think that just because I nag, that the other person's going to hear that and do it. And again, that's where I'm setting myself up for disappointment. So yeah, these were a few of the slides. And I want to say that this is my blog, and on that there is a free download of the conflict resolution book. And there's quite a few things on that about resolving relationships or conflict in relationships. So you can download that. So you can just take a picture of this before I close the screen if you're interested. Or my website is itstimetomeditate.org. Okay. Rightio. So let's do a little meditation, and then I'm happy to take a few questions. So everybody just sit calmly, quiet. Let's just take a moment to go inside. We heard a lot. If you like, you can focus on this picture. We practice with open eyes. The meditation is open-eyed meditation. So right now I come back to my inner world of thoughts and feelings. And right now I just take a check of my feelings. So I would like you to just sit quietly with yourself. And just ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? And if there is any anxiety, any stress, then just take a deep breath. And as you breathe in, you breathe in peace. And as you breathe out, you release all that stress. Just do that a few times. Breathe in peace. Breathe in love. And release all the stress and tension. And right now, in this meditation, I would like us to visualize what is a great relationship. So I'd like you to look at yourself and the people around you. And how can I improve my relationships? What's the one thing that I can add that can just slightly tweak that relationship? Maybe I just need to be a little calmer, slow down my reactions, maybe just be a little more loving, a little more caring. Maybe a little more quiet. Just take a moment now to see just one little step. That's it. Nothing too big, nothing major. And so in this meditation now, I would like you to plant that seed of that thought. That yes, I will be a little more calmer, a little more quiet, or whatever you choose. Okay, and the next visualization is, I would now like you to see how the relationships have improved as a result of practicing this step. So just see into the future, into 1 month ahead, 1 year ahead, whatever you like, and see how the relationship has improved. And I'd like you to just hold on to that vision. How you have improved and how the situation has improved. And that is the vision that I'd like you to water every day. Is that second visualization, that ideal relationship. And it's possible. So once again, just come back to your inner calm. Know that you are the master of your thoughts. You are the master creator of your life. You can create whatever you choose. Thank you.
Thank you, Aruna. Going to, there's only just a few questions that have come in so far, so I'll just ask you those and I'll edit them so we have the question. How to connect and communicate with abusive relatives?
Yeah, well, see, you really need to, I mean, depends how abusive, but you really should be getting professional help if it's quite abusive. I don't want to sit here and say you just meditate and everything goes away. So really, if it's very abusive, if it's physical abuse especially, please do get professional help. If it's things like people making comments and stuff like that, then yeah, first of all, work on yourself. Just spend a few days working on yourself, okay? Again, not to beat up on yourself, but just go inside, develop a greater sense of self-respect. And then from that place, you can ask for a time to communicate. And then you can speak from the I perspective and say, you know what? I don't like being spoken to like this. Rather than to say, you did this and you do that. So again, these tips are in that conflict resolution book. Because when I come from what I'm feeling, I'm not blaming, I'm not judging, I'm just expressing, this is how I feel and this is how I would like it. And if the other person can help, fine. If not, at least they're aware. So what I'm trying to say is address it if you can. If it's very physical abuse, please do get professional help.
Okay, what do you do if you try resolving an argument or a situation, but the other person doesn't want to have that conversation? And ultimately, it does seem to affect the mind as well as the health of the person.
Yes, so what I say to that is at least you will go to bed feeling that you have tried. See, we also learn in conflict resolution that not all conflicts can be resolved. But at least you go to bed knowing that you did your best. And that should bring a lot of inner peace, inner calm, knowing that you tried. And again, depending on the level of conflict, again, maybe you might need to get a mediator if the other person is not listening or not willing, or depending on, you know, whatever is at stake. But again, if it's minor things between people, then you have to just be at peace with knowing that it is what it is. Like, just be at peace knowing that this is how it's going to be, you know, and not to struggle with that either. But you do your best, you try your best. And then after that, as I said, you just be at peace.
Okay, thank you. How to avoid going to bed angry when your anger is caused by anxiety?
But is it just anxiety? Or again, if you go to the bottom of that, something is causing that anxiety. So there's something that obviously I need to accept. So let's say, for example, yeah, it might be a person. So, I mean, what I'm saying is anxiety doesn't stand alone. Anxiety is caused by something or someone. So I go back to that. Is it a person? Is it a situation? Like, is it that I'm unemployed? Or is it that my health is not good? What is it? And so at some point, I need to be at peace with what it is. And firstly, just to accept. Accept doesn't mean that I can't make attempts to change it, but accept what it is for now. When I can just accept, okay, I accept that, yeah, my body hurts, or yeah, I have this difficulty. First to accept, not to deny, not to ignore, not to be in denial. And then from that place of acceptance, then I start to move forward and repair it. I think many times the anxiety, we don't realize what's causing the anxiety, or the anxiety just takes on a bigger form than it needs to. Because everything can be dealt with peace and calm. Really try to understand that. This is what the path of meditation teaches. Everything can be dealt with peace and calm. But I need to create that peace and calm here inside. And then there are solutions to everything. When I'm anxious, when I'm stressed, what happens is I stop, like everything gets blocked. You see? For example, when you're stressed, you know that your digestion stops. Like the adrenaline stops flowing to certain places. I mean, in the same way, if I'm mentally stressed out, then I'm creating blocks in my life. So that's why I'm saying get to a place of acceptance. And this acceptance then will begin to release certain ways or paths. And really the solution will come. So really trust the process.
Thank you. How do you handle betrayal of a friendship? The person's tried compassion, but would like some more tips.
So I don't know if this person who's asking has actually taken the meditation course, but in the meditation course, we also talk about the philosophy of karma, the philosophy of cause and effect. And this really helps us to understand why certain things are happening in our life. Now, that's not to say, again, we beat up on ourselves and we say we are to be blamed, not like that. But just to know that anytime there is a disruption in a relationship, then there is some give and take that is imbalanced, which has to be balanced once again. To bring the relationship back to that normality, there has to be some extra give and take. And so maybe in this situation of betrayal, maybe there's something I still need to give to the other person. And I'm not talking about physical or monetary. I'm talking about maybe, yeah, you're doing good by trying compassion, but maybe they need something else. Maybe they need some respect. Maybe they need some love. Maybe they need some attention. But something has to be given for this relationship to come back to equilibrium. But if you want to know more about that, then I really recommend you take the meditation course and particularly this lesson. And yes, I want to add, it's not easy. I was also saying to Aarti in the beginning, I also felt that, not felt, I also went through a case of that betrayal. But then you know what? I just gave it time and truth revealed itself. So you have to also be willing to be patient and know that one day the truth will reveal itself. So in the meantime, you just have to be calm and keep enjoying life and trust in your good actions.
I believe this may be the final question tonight.
You're muted.
Ah, sorry, thank you. This person is in a relationship where the other person criticizes, is very blunt, and the communication causes a lot of pain. Obviously, it's very negative, and often faults are picked out, and they find it very tiring. What to do?
Yeah, so you have to ask yourself, is this really what I want to put up with? Like, what I mean is, you know, what price are you willing to pay, you see? I would suggest you first try to build that inner self, sense of self, because somewhere you're also allowing that person to do that. You know, it's like you have to build an inner sense, a very strong sense of self, which I call self-respect, where just by being in that self-respect, the other person should dare not speak to you like that. So if after trying that and they still do, then you might have to think twice about having that person in your life. But first of all, yeah, shield yourself, build your inner core, think well of yourself, don't have doubts in yourself. Really, as we change, then people's response changes towards us as well. Because as I'm saying, we allow them to speak to us in this way. You see, so don't allow, but you can't just say, don't speak to me like that. You have to build your inner authority where they dare not. They don't have the courage to speak to you like that. So again, if you need help with any of these things, I really recommend you take some of the classes from the online courses that are taking place from Inner Space, etc. And it really does help. It really does help.
There's been a lot of thank yous, Aruna. People have really enjoyed the talk, so thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Aarti.